Amen. We're in the book of James, chapter number 1, and it's good to be back in James. Amen. I know we've been away for a while. I feel like I have to reintroduce myself to a long-lost friend. Amen. We didn't have truth trackers for 6 weeks, and then I was ill for a couple weeks. So, praise the Lord. Good to see you again, Brother James. Amen. Amen. And Unc, you can turn me off this one. Just mute the pulpit one. And then we'll be good to go. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to go there. I'll just move it down a little. Amen. Sorry about that, folks. Got to get all wired for sound here. Amen. James chapter 1. Let's stand out of respect to the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read the first 12 verses and make our prayer and then get into our lesson tonight. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Let's go ahead and read responsively. And I'll read the odd-numbered verses, but you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Father, please bless Your Word now as it goes forth. Lord, we pray that You would draw us closer to You through this study tonight as we look, Lord, at the man that endureth temptation. Bless is our prayer now, and we love You and thank You for all that You give to us. Thank You most of all for dying on the cross for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And this is our fifth lesson, and we know we've had more. We've shrunk the first four into three lessons apiece, and so we just handed out one sheet tonight. And our introduction, our previous four lessons, just a bit of review since we've been out of James for so long here. We looked at, first bullet point there, welcome trials. Come on in, amen, and a strange saying, if you would, but the Bible says there in verse 2 of James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but our second lesson was out of verse 5, and we entitled it, obtaining the principal thing, and that is, blank line there is, wisdom. I'm so glad verse 5 is in the Bible, because there are so many times in life where I feel like I don't have the wisdom. You know, just this week, talking to someone, and they said, please help me. They said, give me a verse that'll make it all better. And I said, I wish I had one. But I know I can go to God and ask for wisdom. Amen. I can go to God and say, please, give me wisdom. Help me. Give me a verse. I need something, God. I'm so glad it's in there. It says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's not mad when we ask for wisdom. Amen. Because He knows what we're made of. So we looked at that, obtaining the principal thing. Then our third bullet point, we looked at between two opinions. Between two opinions is the blank line there. And of course, that's verse 6 through 8. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then down to verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And God tells us, listen, you can trust me. I'm trustworthy. Amen. That means you can ask me for things, and I will give them to you. And so we talked about being between two opinions. You know, wise is the man who picks the side of the road. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Don't stand in the middle. You can't straddle a fence that way. Amen. You're going to get hit by the car if you stand in the middle of the road. Amen. Listen, God can be trusted. Amen. So you don't have to have a double-minded man. I wonder if he still loves me. I wonder if he hears me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So ask him for things. And then our last lesson, we looked at proper perspectives concerning riches, verses 9 through 11. Proper perspectives concerning riches. And of course there it says, the brother of low degree rejoicing that he is exalted, and the rich that he's made low. And obviously that's a bit of a paradox to our thinking, but God is saying here, look, I'm the God of all, amen. I'm the God of the poor, I'm the God of the rich. If God allows you to not have much wealth, you can still rejoice. And if God gives you wealth, you could say, you know what, I'm going to be of low degree, I'm going to humble myself before God, amen. Number one tonight, hard to believe, I wrote this lesson, so the blessing of temptation. The blessing of temptation. Look at verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Okay? On our next line here, the word blessed is a familiar word. It is translated from the Greek word makarios. Makarios. We have it there for you. Meaning, supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, blessed, happy. Okay, so blessed, supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a tough nut to crack. Have you ever been in trials and testings and think, I'm so blessed because of this? Come on now. Amen. I haven't either. Amen. I thought, my goodness. But this is what the Word of God says. God's trying to teach us something here. Okay? It is used 50 times in 49 verses in the New Testament. This phrase, this Greek word, makarios. Okay? Some have referred to this as the ninth beatitude. The ninth beatitude. And we have a cross reference there. I want you to hold your place in James and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11 is the blank line there. Matthew 5, 3 through 11. Matthew 5, 3 through 11. And you listen, I know you know these, but they're wonderful. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 5, Matthew, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. These are the Beatitudes. Blessed. Makarios. Amen. Meaning supremely blessed. Okay? So we have here, some is referred to it as the ninth beatitude, and it is very closely tied to chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 of James. So go back to chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, blank line there, so you can put 1, verses 2 and 3, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Very closely tied to chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 of James, which says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Patience. So, for much like counting it all joy when you are tempted, it is a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual discipline to consider temptation as being an opportunity to be supremely blessed. Let me say that again. For much like counting it all joy when you are tempted, it is a spiritual discipline to consider temptation as being an opportunity to be supremely blessed. Now, that's difficult. Amen? It's difficult. It's James is you know, I've mentioned it before, he doesn't mind popping us in the nose spiritually. James is what I call a 401 class. Anybody remember those? If you went to school, 101 was a freshman class, amen. And 201 was a sophomore class, and 301 was a junior class. This is for mature believers. Because I'll tell you what, when you're going through the fire, it's hard to say, "I'm so blessed," going through. And all God's people said, "It's hard." And by the way, it's hard when you've been saved for 20 or 30 or 40 years too. Amen. It's tough. It's tough. And that's why I want you to see number two, the enduring of temptation. Roman numeral number two, the enduring of temptation. We look at the blessing of temptation. Number two, the enduring of temptation. It doesn't say here, "Blessed is the man who is tempted." Okay? Doesn't say that, does it, church? It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Endureth temptation. The blessing, on your outline, the blessing is achieved through endurance. The blessing is achieved through endurance. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have been saved a while and you understand these things I'm talking about, I don't have one drop of Calvinistic blood in my body. And for those of you that have no idea what that is, you're better for it. Amen. But there's a whole segment of Christianity labeled, says, you know what, God has predestined some to be saved and some to be lost, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there's this whole system that goes along with it. And those of you that know it, the P on the end of the tulip for Calvinists is the perseverance of the saints. And listen, I don't believe you have to persevere to be saved. I believe we're preserved in Christ. He did the persevering, amen. But I'll tell you this, I'm not against enduring. I'm not against enduring. Especially here, you're talking about temptation. The blessing is achieved through endurance, that is, enduring the testings. Blank line there. Enduring the testings. The word endureth here is translated from the Greek word hupomeno. Hupomeno. The prefix hupo means under. Okay? The prefix hupo means under, underneath. Okay? Talking about this word endureth. And the verb meno means to abide, to stay, to remain. Okay? So, when you put this word together, it means dealing in patience, but being underneath and holding your ground holding firm in the midst of temptation. I remember hearing the story of the Battle of the Bulge. And there was these 19 soldiers, if my math is correct, I believe it's 19 soldiers. And they were behind enemy lines. And they didn't know how many of the enemy, Brother Kelly, but there was a lot of them. And you know what they were told? Hold at all costs. That's what it is to endure. I remember hearing a story of a man who was on the Bataan Death March. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's very few points of history that are worse than the Bataan Death March. If you know anything about your history, those blessed Americans that fought to the last bullet and then didn't have any more bullets and didn't have any more food and didn't have any more medicine and finally waved the white flag of surrender, and the Japanese told them that they would be treated as guests of the emperor. If that's how the emperor treated his guests. They went on the Bataan Death March. And this one man said, "I did not have any food, a drink of water, or sleep for 7 days." He said, "And when I got to the place where I could have food and water," he said, "my tongue was sticking out of my mouth," which people in the medical profession will tell you, you're that close to death when that happens. And what did he do? He endured. He endured. You know, when I think of this verse, I always think of the counterpart just a couple pages back. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We did our series last year on Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 35. It's the end of the great triumphs of faith here. It said, "Women receive their dead raised to life again." But then it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Chapter 11, verse 36. "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." And all God's people said, "They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You know what they did? They endured. People that went to the stake, they endured. People that were pulled on the rack, they endured. And listen, folks, we haven't been asked to go to the rack yet. And we haven't been put in animal skins and thrown into the Colosseum so the lions will tear us bit from bit. And I'm not minimizing our testings and our temptations. They're hard sometimes. We don't understand them. But I want to tell you something. If they can do it, we can do it. Amen. If those people that worship the same God, we too could say, you know what? God is God. I'm not giving in. I'm not recanting. Brother Don and I were just talking before service and about just things that are going on. Listen, folks, things are not getting happier and happier towards church. They're getting more hostile. They're coming at the things we believe. They can't stand the fact that we stand on this Bible on the issue of homosexuality. They can't stand it. And I'll tell you, I think there's coming a day when they're going to come after churches. They're going to say, if you preach that, you lose this, you lose that, you're going to be arrested for hate speech. But listen, folks, supremely blessed. That's what it says. Supremely blessed to go through such testings and temptations. If you would, go to the next line there. We did the verb meno, means to abide, to stay, to remain. Again, this is difficult to receive. What do you mean, Pastor? Enduring, bearing up during a temptation, just hanging in there and fighting through it and praying and asking God to help you. It's difficult, particularly because when a person is going through pain, difficulty, or any kind of suffering, the only thing that we want is it for it to be over. And I've used this illustration countless times. I hope it doesn't become trite or boring. When you've got a bad tooth, you just want it to be over. Amen? When you've got those of you that have had gallstones or kidney stones, and I've watched my wife suffer through gallstones, and I know that she wasn't looking for the great spiritual. She wanted it to be over. But when it comes to our testings, our temptations, we have a line here. It's our human tendency to flee from trials and testings. It's our human tendency to flee from trials and testings. Listen, folks, that's just what's in us. I don't know about you, but even as a pastor, and I guess I'm probably more confrontational than most people are just by virtue of the fact that I'm a man of God. I have to confront sin. I have to confront things. But listen, it's not in my nature, my human nature, to do that. I'd rather just pretend it wasn't there and all God's people said, listen, we don't do that. Here's what the Bible says here, talking about this. But if we bear up under them, that's our human tendency to flee from trials and testings, but if we bear up under them and see God's purpose, it should say, in them, when we come through them, we will be blessed. Let me say that again. It's our human tendency to flee from trials and testings, but if we bear up under them and see God's purpose in them, when we come through them, we will be blessed. Those of you that have been through trials in your life, those of you that have had the unthinkable, you've lost a child or you've lost a loved one, isn't it a blessing later on, and all God's people said, later on, isn't it a blessing when somebody comes to you and they say, I've just lost a child and I don't know what to do? And you can say, let me pray with you. Let me share something with you. I'm here 20 years later and I lost my dear spouse 20 years ago, and I know exactly what you're going through. That's part of the blessing. But you know what? You don't get that if you turn tail and run. You don't get it. I'm thinking about what Susanna Leonard is going through right now at the Marines. I wrote her a note today, and I hope you will too. We'll get her address to anybody who wants it. I said, tonight's lesson, Miss Nadine, is on James chapter 1, verse 12, the blessing of temptations, the blessing of testings, trials. But you know, when Marines graduate, they're Marines. They've made it. But it didn't come without trials and testings, and all God's people said, otherwise, I don't know if I'd want them to be the first in the fight. Amen. But they got through. They endured. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Father, we love you.